Good morning. They've shut the theater doors on us, so I think that's our signal to start. Thank you to brave 815 souls that are joining us this morning. How many of you, when you were putting your Ignite schedule together, looked at your schedule and said, oh, that 815 Yammer session on Thursday morning, that's going to be a tough one? I thought myself as a presenter, how am I going to make this thing the morning after the Red Party? But thank you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning. My name is Steve Nguyen. I'm Yammer Product Evangelist with the Yammer Product Team. I've been around Yammer for a while, since before the acquisition, working with a lot of customers on helping to implement and get Yammer up and running in many organizations across the globe. If you can't tell from my accent, I am from the U.S. Angus is not. Angus, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so Angus, I'm Australian, but I actually live in the U.S. now, so I'm kind of from the U.S. I joined Yammer before acquisition, about just over 5 years ago, and have been working. I worked out of Melbourne and led the CSM team for the last 4 years or so. Then about 12 months ago, moved to San Francisco to lead our product marketing for Yammer and Office 365. So it's good to be back in the homeland.
So before we get too far, just a quick show of hands. How many of you have active Yammer networks today? Wow, good. Good show. How many of you are just kind of exploring, haven't turned on Yammer yet, or maybe it's activated, but you're not quite sure what to do with it yet? Okay, so some people still at that stage as well. So here's what we're going to cover today. We'll give a little bit of background of kind of what we've been working on, what we've been building, some of the direction we're moving towards with respect to Yammer plus Office 365, and specifically around groups. We'll talk about some roadmap. We'll give you a bit of a roadmap update. And we'll also like to spend a little bit of time talking about kind of the adoption piece. How do you kickstart Yammer? How do you get more people using Yammer? So we'll close out with that. Please feel free. The session is being recorded, but we like to invite questions throughout the session. So if something piques your interest and you have a question, please just raise your hand. We have some swag to present for those of you that are brave enough to ask questions. Also, if you have unique stories of how your company is using Yammer, also, please feel free to chime in. We love hearing those stories. So feel free to raise your hand. If you ask a question, we plan on covering it. We might defer it, but don't hesitate to interrupt. So as we've been going around the world and talking to people about Yammer, we really believe that the people that are here, the people that are in this room, are kind of the special snowflakes, if you will, within your organizations. You all are people that believe in the transformative power that Yammer can have on your organization, the way that Yammer allows people to work in a more open, transparent way. We believe that the people here kind of believe in that mission, believe in our mission, and believe in that cause. And so we ask that when people come to our session, kind of take a look around. Take a look at the other people that are in this room with you. Find those other people at the conference. We like to think this is kind of Yammer in real life. There are people here that have information, that have knowledge that maybe you have never connected with. But this is a Yammer in real life moment for you to connect with other people that are kind of going along the same journey as you. And as I look across Office 365, if I look across the suite, it's my belief, and you'll probably think that I'm biased, and I may be a little bit. When I look across the different workloads within Office 365, I'm of the opinion that Yammer is the most transformative workload within Office 365. Because if you think about it, you look at things like email. Who doesn't know how to email, right? Everybody, we've been using email for decades now. People generally know how to calendar. They know how to schedule meetings. They know how to use Skype for Business to conduct meetings. They generally know how to use SharePoint to share and store files. But Yammer is a little bit different. Yammer allows people to connect across their organization in ways that many companies haven't had the ability to do before. It allows groups and teams to break outside of their silos and connect with a broader audience in ways that traditional tools haven't allowed. So that's why it's my belief that Yammer has a way of impacting an organization in ways that the rest of the workload within Office 365 does not. And this is played out at one of our customers, Sanofi. Sanofi is a large pharmaceutical organization. And we just recently published this case study. And this is Celine, and she talks about how it's really broken down a lot of the barriers to allowing people to connect across their organization. They have this group of quality teams that work with industrial operations across the globe. And they have employees that are on the shop floor that have an interest in sharing best practices. In fact, they're very proud and excited to do so. And so Yammer allows for Sanofi to be able to connect their global operations, these global people that are on the shop floor, to be able to share and create new best practices. And as an example of this, there was a building operator who discovered one day that there could be a way to reduce some of the waste related to how they were manufacturing a certain product. And so he took to Yammer, and he started to build a coalition of other operators at facilities across the globe. He shared his idea with other people and sort of built this coalition of people to create what this new process could be within Sanofi. And so they took that to task, and they actually did build out a new process to save waste for this specific product. And they implemented it. And since implementing it, it saved this facility over $100,000 per year. And now it's a global best practice shared widely across Sanofi. And these are examples of how Yammer has really helped to accommodate kind of the different working realities that exist within Sanofi. So whether you're an employee on a shop floor that doesn't have access to a computer, or you're an entry-level associate that is new to the company and just needs a way to connect in with the organization, Yammer has allowed Sanofi to invite these people in and be able to collaborate in deep and meaningful ways. And it's examples like Sanofi and examples like this that we've heard from many other customers that have ignited movements like this in the way that we work. How many of you are familiar with the responsive org movement? Christy, good. Yeah, so not many of you. So responsive org, just a bit of history, was a movement that was started with about four or five people in San Francisco sitting around a table where we started to see some of these same benefits that Sanofi was seeing. And we were starting to see this across many other organizations, where organizations were starting to use enterprise social in a way that they were starting to get real business value, and they were starting to see the way that it could change their culture to be more networked and more connected across their organization. They were starting to connect not just within their kind of traditional silos, this traditional hierarchical silos within their organizations, but instead they were creating a network. They were creating this new hierarchy within their organization. And they started to kind of create some principles around what it would mean to be a more responsive organization, an organization that allowed information to flow more freely and for an organization to learn more quickly based off of that free flow of information. And so, like I said, it started with about four or five people in a room thinking about what this could mean. Fast forward to September of this past year. We had our first annual responsive org conference. And this conference was actually created by people that were largely unaffiliated with the original responsive org movement. This responsive org movement over the years, it started to gain momentum and gain steam to the point where people felt it was important enough to bring people together from all across the world to talk about what it means to be a responsive org. So about 1,500 or so people from all across the globe, many different shapes and sizes of companies came together to talk about the future of work and what it means to be a more responsive organization. Working out loud is also kind of a key tenet, a key principle that we believe in when it comes to Yammer. We talk a lot about narrating your work, and I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end. But working out loud is also a movement that we believe has gained momentum as people start to shift and think about different ways of working in their companies. We've also seen just tremendous growth of Yammer. If you're wondering about kind of the viability of Yammer, rest assured, Yammer is growing faster than it ever has before, even prior to the acquisition. We're seeing more and more users have access to Yammer, more and more users using Yammer. And we get stuff like this a lot. This was a design company. I think they're in San Francisco. I don't remember exactly where. But they wrote this kind of open letter to Yammer. It's awesome. They said, thank you, Yammer. And they go on to say how they use Yammer for basically all of their team projects. Everything that they do, all of their communications happens in Yammer. And they talked about kind of the organizational change that's happened as a result of having information more readily available across their organization. And there's just some other examples. We have academics. You know, we have a large presence in the EDU space, but these are great. If you have stories, if you have examples of how you're using Yammer, like I said, feel free to share those with us. But all this growth is also driven by product shipments and innovation. So I'm not going to exhaust this whole list, but you can see over the past year, 18 months, these are a lot of the things that we've delivered already. So, and we're going to continue to build on that. And we'll talk about some of those things today. Not only that, we're hiring. So we have headcount across the Yammer product team in almost every department within Yammer. So heavy investment, heavy growth. We continue to be very bullish on the growth of Yammer. The things that we're going to show you that we're working on from a roadmap perspective, we're constantly hiring to try to deliver on those things much more quickly as well. And so for those of you that have been with us for a while, have been with us on this kind of enterprise social journey, you know that Yammer's mission is to really help connect people and information, enable better decisions, help you make decisions faster in your organization, help you create this network within your organization. The challenge that we face, though, is that lots of people have taken their kind of preconceived notions of consumer social and applied it to enterprise social or how they use social within their organizations. And what we're trying to do is we're putting more effort into creating distinction between the ways that people use consumer social to the ways that people use enterprise social within their companies. An example of that is if you go to Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, you get this kind of endless scroll. Have you ever been in LinkedIn and you click on who you might know, and you keep scrolling, and you scroll, and you scroll, and eventually you know every person in the world? Have you ever gotten to the end of that list, right? You get this never-ending scroll, right? And so what we aim to do within Yammer is a little bit different. We know that people need to kind of get information, they need to get a message, get their work done, and then move on to the next thing. So one of the things that we've implemented recently is what we call group counter. So when you go into the group counter, you'll see the most recent, you might see the messages that have been unread since the last time you came to the group. So maybe there's 5 messages in the group. And then if you scroll through the first 3, then we leave the other 2 messages left kind of unread so that the next time you come in, you still have access to know that those messages are unread, because those are real messages from your colleagues, right? Those are real messages that they'd like you to react to, they'd like you to know about, versus when you go into applications like Facebook, you click on the notifier, you have 10 messages, you click on it, boom, they're blown away, and it's kind of hard to come back to. So we're constantly trying to tailor social to help you be more productive, to help you get your work done. We've also recognized that over time that, of course, people are using Yammer in many different ways. It's great to see that people have taken Yammer and applied it to their own needs. And so if you look on the left-hand side, we know that people use Yammer for things like Yam Jams. If you're not familiar with what a Yam Jam is, it's sort of an Ask Me Anything like you might do on Reddit. So people might do Yam Jams with executives. They might use it as this kind of water cooler place or this place to broadcast company-wide messages. And they're measuring kind of vanity metrics, likes and posts and replies and things like that. And that's okay. Those sorts of things on the left-hand side, they start to drive some initial employee morale. They get people jazzed. They get people starting to connect within your organization. But what we find, though, is that when companies are only using Yammer for the left-hand side, you ask employees in those organizations, and they say things like, Yammer's this extra place that I have to go, right? How many of you heard that? Extra place, right? Versus on the right-hand side, when we hear companies, like the company that sent us the thank you letter, or Sanofi, where they're using Yammer to replace an existing process or existing tools, They're using it for really deep, meaningful project collaboration. They have meaningful multi-way collaboration. And they're not measuring just kind of clicks and likes, but they're actually measuring business outcomes and business value. That's when companies have really started to see Yammer transform their business. And it's also my opinion that when companies are using Yammer for the right-hand side, the left-hand side actually gets better. Because if you think of the left-hand side as more kind of internal comms focused, you know, you're trying to broadcast messages out, the more that you have people using Yammer on a kind of day-to-day basis, like the right-hand side indicates, then you have more eyeballs, you have more visibility into some of those kind of broadcast messages across the organization. So Kai is here from Swoop. Kai wrote this really great article, and it's based on what's called the 50-meter rule. And I kind of piggybacked onto it and made a comparison to Microsoft Teams and email. We get lots of questions about where does Yammer fit in within Office 365. We've got Teams, we've got Outlook groups, we have Office 365 groups. How does Yammer fit in? And I won't go into all the details about the 50-meter rule, but suffice to say, what happens generally, the 50-meter rule study says that the majority of the people that you interact with, whether it's email, whether it's phone, whether it's chat, are people that are within a 50-meter proximity of you. And Kai and his team did some research to kind of validate that, but also debunk it from a Yammer perspective. When they started to look at that same kind of rule, the 50-meter rule within Yammer, what they started to see was Yammer was the one tool, one platform that broke the 50-meter rule. Yammer was the one place that allowed people to break out of the physical proximity of the people that they connect with and connect with people outside of that 50-meter radius. And so when we think about kind of what's the difference between email and Teams and Yammer, the way I kind of describe it is if you think about email and you think about chat, there's a requirement for those two things. Can anybody think of what the requirement might be for those? It's addressability. I have to know who to address. I have to know when I send an email, I have to put Angus's name in there. I have to know or assume that Angus has a bit of information that I need. Or if I send a chat message, I need to direct it to somebody. Versus with Yammer, Yammer is this place where there's no assumption about who has a piece of information or knowledge that you might need. Or there's no assumption that what you share is going to be valuable for somebody else within the organization. So the other analogy that I like to use is in your personal life, just because you have email and just because you have WhatsApp or Messenger or text messaging doesn't mean that there's not a place in the middle for Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter for you to connect more broadly with a bigger network than just what those siloed applications provide. So it's our belief that tools like email and Teams will make your existing teams stronger because they're kind of close-knit, they're private. But it's tools like platforms like Yammer that will help you broaden your reach, broaden your connections, make new connections with other people in ways that the siloed applications do not. And so now we want to just talk through some of the other distinctions in which Yammer has had influence from a Microsoft perspective. Gus is going to talk through some of these.
Yeah, so I get this question a lot on customer calls, like how does Microsoft use Yammer? And so I thought I'd just show some examples from both the left and right sides of how this happens daily inside Microsoft. So the really big obvious one is we have a group in Yammer called CEO Connection, where Satya posts top of mind thoughts, he posts announcements in there, they get pushed out to the company. A recent example that he's been public about as well is around the new immigration laws in the US and how that's affected Microsoft employees. You know, he's engaging with employees on Yammer and answering questions and posting videos and getting responses. So it's a great example of that. He also does a monthly Q&A that we stream over Skype meeting broadcast, and they source all their questions through this Yammer group. So that's one example of how we use it. Christoph mentioned this yesterday in his session, but the Microsoft Teams product team use Yammer to answer questions and talk about what's coming through the GA launch. Instead of, you know, when you've got 100,000 people inside Microsoft and even more than that through vendors, you're not going to answer that through email or even through a team. You need to distribute that information broadly and make sure everyone has access. So Yammer is the obvious platform for them. And it's not just Teams that do this. All our product groups do it, from Xbox through to Office 365 groups to Yammer, all of them. So being able to pull this kind of community of interest around a specific tool or product suite works really well. We have lots of examples of that. Sprinklr is an interesting one. So this is, Sprinklr is a tool that we use, that marketing use around the world to monitor our Microsoft social media channels. And so we had an on-premise version and we've just moved to their cloud version in Azure. And so there's actually an external group in Yammer. So it includes people from the Sprinklr organization, so their account team, and then all the different marketing people from right around the world. And as they're transitioning each of these different products, so literally, you know, the Yammer Twitter handle, the Facebook, that in from one platform to the next, they go through and they explain, and people ask questions and they get help and support. And they've used this group to kind of go through that whole process, which has been really, really helpful for those in the marketing side. This is another example, a much smaller one, that I actually used. So I'm in marketing. We've been building out a bunch of scenario videos for Yammer. So we're building 9 videos around different personas, so whether it's HR, sales, marketing, and how they can use Yammer to get their job done. And we've engaged an agency to help us do this. And so, again, this is an example of an external group that has maybe 10, 15 people. There's about 4 or 5 from the Microsoft side, another 10 or so from the agency side. And we've used this group to run the entire project. And it's been really good because over Christmas, I came back to Australia and spent, you know, a month over here on holiday. And my team could just pick up, see all the history, all the context, what's been going on, and move forward. When I came back in January, we just picked up the conversation and went on. So really, really good example of how we, and external groups get used quite extensively inside Microsoft for these smaller type things. And then the last one is another external group is actually the Yammer Service Update. So this is one we have for customers, and I would encourage any of you guys, if you want to join, you're more than welcome to. So we have the Microsoft Tech Community, which is the sort of the public forum where we announce stuff as they ship. But we use this external group with, and we've got maybe 300 or 400 customers in there, but it's open for anyone to join, where we talk about A/B tests or we solicit feedback. Or, for example, in the next week, we're going to collect a group of customers who want to help us test out Edit Post. And so we'll post in this group and ask for volunteers to help us there. So, and we also see customers help each other. So it's not just us talking to them, but a customer might ask a question, hey, you know, does anyone have an issue with bookmarks or whatever? And then they'll come together and they'll start to solve those problems. So another example of how we do that. There's lots of other product groups that do this as well. There's a really good one Azure Advisors group uses for this as well. And then this one is actually much smaller team. So this is my direct team. So there's 4 or 5 of us. Steve is in there. And this is where we work. And we have, this is actually, we're a bit lucky that ours is a connected group to Office 365. And I'm going to show you how that works. But we basically do all our work inside this group where we store our files. What I love about this group is it is only for the 4 or 5 of us, but it's a public group. And so other people from the organization can see what we do and jump in and have questions or provide feedback on stuff we're working on as we go. And really embracing that work out loud. And we have lots of examples where, for, you know, a sales guy might jump in. Yeah, you got a question?
I was going to say, have you seen the behavior change between Microsoft Teams has been released and any of that conversation moving over to Teams?
There's been examples where people have switched across. But generally, though, those people who have switched didn't use Yammer in that specific way, in this, like, small team thing. They might have had a group where they would share general information. But the reality of Microsoft is it's like email is everything. And so they might have a Yammer group where they'll share interesting articles, but and then they've moved to Teams. And, you know, we use Teams daily too. I've also got a team called the Yammer Marketing Ninjas where we do our real-time chats or we need a quick answer to the thing that's back and forth or for a private space because obviously Teams is only private. So if it's something that we just want to talk about in our team that's not public, we use our team space for that. But generally where we get our work done and we store our stuff is in the Yammer group, yeah.
And the other, like Gus said, really to us, the cool thing about the Marketing Ninjas group is that it's only 5 of us, but the membership of the Yammer group is over 50, which, you know, we don't have over 50 people in that group you know, chatting, talking with us every day, but they have visibility into what we're doing. They check into that group to know what we're doing. And people often, you know, we'll be talking about some project or some customer that we're working with, and somebody else will come in and say, oh, that's interesting, that's useful to my other customer. So those are the types of serendipitous connections that aren't able to happen in, or that are difficult to happen in Teams or in email.
Yeah, yeah. And so I really just wanted to highlight this is, I guess, the diverse different ways you can use Yammer, from like all company groups that will connect everyone on a large topic, right down to smaller teams who are happy to sort of embrace working out loud and really want to, you know, share what they're doing as they go and learn from others, and everything in between. Right. So now we're going to get into a little bit more demo stuff because we've done lots of slides. I've got about three more. But one of the big innovations that we've been working on for the last 12 months, and we announced it at Ignite in Atlanta in September, is Yammer's integration into the Office 365 group service. And so anyone who went to Christoph's session yesterday around groups, you would have seen his demo, how Yammer's connected to that. But I'm going to go into that in much more detail about how that actually works and the benefits you get from a connected group inside Yammer. I don't want to spend a huge amount of time because there's been lots of sessions about this and there's lots of stuff on the web, but really just, again, just highlighting, I guess, the Office 365, you know, collaboration strategy, particularly for groups and team collab, is, you know, there isn't a single tool that does everything you need. And so, you know, we're going to drill into Yammer specifically today, but obviously we've got Teams to do that more real-time, close-knit group chat where you can have all your stuff in one spot. But again, you know, like Steve said, it's that you have to know that the group of people you want to work with, it's private, it's secured. And again, that's a great solution for a lot of specific examples. We've got obviously Outlook with mail and calendar, which, you know, serves the purpose of mail and calendaring, which we all know and love. Skype, I won't go through all these, the client, SharePoint, and then Yammer, like we've talked about already, is really that tool that helps connect the fringes of your organization and people who you don't necessarily know you could get value from or could be valuable to. But the key point of this slide is that all these tools now are underpinned by the Office 365 group service. So whether you create a team in Microsoft Teams or a group in Yammer or a team site in SharePoint, they are all creating this Azure Active Directory group, syncing memberships, descriptions, pictures, public-private status, and then spawning out a bunch of shared resources for that group of people, whether it's Planner, you know, a SharePoint team site, a OneNote calendar, that type of thing. And so Yammer is now an equal part of this ecosystem, so when you create a group in Yammer, you get all these things as well. And so I'm going to go in through to describe how that works and show you guys what we get. Again, this side, this is more just, I guess, an example. One thing I want to be really clear when people ask, what tool am I supposed to use? The first question I always ask back to you is, what is it that you're trying to do? Because depending on what you want to do, and hopefully you saw that in those examples in the Microsoft network, well, it becomes really obvious really quickly which tool in Microsoft, in Office 365 you're supposed to be using. So if you need a small, private, secure space to move quickly within your team, Teams is a really obvious choice for that. If you want to share more broadly and have an exec engagement across the company, Yammer is an obvious choice for that. You know, it becomes, don't think about, we've got all these tools, which one am I going to roll out to all my customers? It's like, what are my people trying to do for this particular task, problem? As IT in the room, understand the benefits and advantages of each of these different ones. But again, really try and focus on what the outcome of the project is, and then the tool that you pick, it doesn't really matter that much because, again, they're all underpinned by the same technology. You manage their membership and security in all the same way. You guys get the easy job of just managing everything in one spot, and you give your people the flexibility to choose what type of way they want to work.
And I think, how many of you went to Ducks and Blair's session yesterday on which tool went? We weren't able to go, but we heard about it. But one of the great slides I think that they showed in there was how groups and teams and individuals should think about not just a singular tool, not thinking about things so binary, but think about how you traverse the different applications to get a certain job done based off of, like Gus said, what you're trying to do, who you're trying to reach. I love that slide.
So let's get back into Yammer and I'll give you a brief history lesson. And I presented this with Christoph at Ignite in Australia, I think it was like November 2015. And all this was on the roadmap at that point. And I'm thankful to say that this is all now behind us now and we're at the end. But since I spoke to you guys last time and over the last sort of 18 months, there's been a huge amount of work in Yammer's backend to get it fully integrated into the Office 365 suite. So it's basically just the same, another service like a SharePoint, like a Teams, like something else. And so we've moved off our own identity store. And I spoke to a couple of customers yesterday that just went through that pain in November of moving off Yammer, Desync, and SSO. But that's all. You know, we now have a single way to manage our users across the entire suite. Again, we can manage the app now the same way you would manage any other tool inside Office 365. We've done a great deal of work around compliance, and so we now have what we call Tier C or Category C compliance inside Office 365. And what this actually meant was up until February last year, Yammer couldn't be turned on for Office 365 tenants by default. You as administrators had to accept the risk of having it at a different compliance level and then turn it on for your users. So in February last year, we actually fixed up all our compliance, so it's now the same as the other suites, and in February we turned on Yammer by default for all Office 365 customers who were eligible, which is that last point there. And so with all that kind of building blocks in place, we're now, and to be honest, as the marketing person, it's not particularly sexy talking about integrating into all this stuff and fixing up AD. Like, there's not a lot of value there for end users, maybe a simplified login process, but that's really about it. But what we're able to do now is really go deep on building end user features and integrating deep into the Office experience so people can, you know, switch between tools. It's pretty seamless and add a lot of that functionality from the other Office 365 apps. So, there's a few different things, and we'll go through some slides, but I'm going to spend some more time demoing this because I think it's much more interesting. So, basically in Office 365, in terms of like asynchronous chat, you have two choices today. One is Outlook, groups in Outlook, and the other one now is Yammer. And so basically what we decided was a group can be one or the other. And the way that to determine this is really actually quite simple. If you create the group in Yammer, it's a Yammer group conversation. If you created an Outlook, it's an Outlook one. So it's fairly similar, but if you want a Yammer connected group, it gets created inside Yammer. That's a pretty simple way to think about it. Every Yammer group that gets created that's connected will get a SharePoint team site, a document library, a OneNote group. The group will appear in Power BI. You'll get a planner. And then in the not too distant future, we'll also get a shared team calendar. So think about being able to create events inside your Yammer group and have that sync to the members' calendars, that type of stuff. And I spoke about the bottom where you create the group determines what type of group you'll get. So why don't I just show you what I'm talking about? All right, so, as I said, everything, Yammer is now basically just another service inside Office 365. So as users, you log in, you get access to Yammer if it's turned on your tenant. Now, the way that you create a Yammer connected group is extremely simple, and in fact, end users won't even know the difference. Basically, the way that it works is, when you create a group in Yammer, we can give it a name. And we can add some people to it. You can do public or private, and it doesn't really matter, but being the work out loud guy that I am, I'm gonna go with public, create a group. And this is exactly the process that you see today in Yammer. And now you get the group in Yammer. It's got a picture that we can add to. We can type a description in, we can see the members. But what's new here is this right-hand side. So you see this? So when that group was created, what's happened is we've gone to Azure Active Directory and said, hey, there's been a new public or private group created. Here's the name, here's the members. Create this in Active Directory and then go and spin up all the resources that an Office 365 group gets. And you can see there that this group now has its own SharePoint site. It's got a OneNote and a planner. We can click in each of those just to show you that I'm not making it up. And these are all linked. Now, what I think is really, and I'll get into the admin side of it, but from an end user perspective, this becomes really, really powerful now because all of a sudden, my Yammer groups exist in the GAL, so they're now addressable from anywhere inside the suite. So there's a few simple examples you could think of where this might be useful. So if I am in my email, and I want to, maybe I've got an email from someone else, or I want to send an email to my group, I can now address my Yammer groups from the gal. So, what did I call it? Ignite. Ignite, Gold Coast. And then I search directory. And assuming my internet is all good, that will appear. There we go. Oops. It just didn't appear and I clicked the wrong button. So it'll appear in your directory now. So you can, there we go. It's got the picture. I can see that this group was created in Yammer. So it's a Yammer managed group. Sorry, the internet is a little bit slow. But yeah, you can see here, so you, all of a sudden from Outlook, I can attach files, send this, and this gets posted into the Yammer group relatively seamlessly. Very similar thing for, let's say, OneDrive. And if you're in OneDrive and you click on Share a Document from within SharePoint now, obviously all your Yammer groups are addressable. So I can click this and click Share. And again, these are all across the suite. Ignite Gold Coast is my Yammer group. The one that I particularly like, being a marketing person and spending all my time inside PowerPoint making pretty slides, is this even works from clients now. So I can click Share. This is my Microsoft one, so it won't actually work for that Ignite group. But here's, for example, the existing one of Microsoft. So I say Yammer Marketing. This is the group I showed you that we use. So here's my Yammer Marketing Ninjas group inside Yammer. And so when I hit, I can share this. It's actually storing the file in OneDrive, sending the link and posting my message to Yammer, and then provisioning access to all those group members to that particular document. So if that group membership changes, so does the access to those documents. It's a really nice, easy way to be able to manage access and integrate Yammer. We've also done that within the product itself. So if I come back to Yammer, you know, some of the recent stuff we shipped is being able to select files from your OneDrive with it directly from Yammer itself. So you can now browse. So these are all my Office 365 groups, document libraries. I've got my personal OneDrive and my recent files, which could be other SharePoint site stuff that's been shared with me, and paste those. You know, it just creates the link and posts that in there into the feed, and we'll provision access and all that stuff. So really nice, simple integration to manage that across the board. From an admin perspective, let me just quickly jump in and show you that. So in the Office 365 admin, we can come into groups and you will see here Ignite Gold Coast was the group I just created. You can see here it syncs the members, the privacy, the picture, and you can either update this like you would any other group, so through PowerShell or again, if you know, the admins get shared across the workload, so you can manage it in SharePoint wherever you like. All those things get synced up together. So it's a really nice way to manage those in a single point.
Question?
Yes.
What's your advice on how do you deal with group naming contentions? So I kind of look at groups as being a bit like personalized plates. You know, like if you went to create Ignite Gold Coast, whoops, last year, it was done last year. What's the user experience there? Is there anything automated? Can it's like a year on the individual mandate? Can you?
So, yeah, so that is a very good question. So for Yammer specifically,
the question is any guidance on group naming conventions?
Yeah, so from, and each different app handles this a little bit differently, but they are certainly going to a point where we did you go to Christoph's session yesterday around groups? Okay, so he talked about a little bit there where they have Office 365 groups as naming policies. Today, only Outlook and the Outlook endpoints respect that from the group service point of view. Yammer actually does it automatically anyway, so if I tried to create that group again, it wouldn't let me do that anyway. So that's already it. So we've always done that. So for Yammer, but absolutely from the Yammer perspective, we're going to be... The reason why only Outlook support it today is because it was actually built as part of the Outlook implementation for groups because they were first. They're now extracting that up to the AAD level, and so then we'll just inherit those permissions. So if you start to do it through, if it won't let you do it if it exists in AAD, basically. Yeah. I think that's it for the Office 365.
Hey, you want to talk about maybe the migration from Notes and OneNote, maybe?
Yeah. So there's a few things here, obviously. Yammer has, you know, being an app that Microsoft bought, there's obviously not, we had our own way to do notes. We had our own way to store files. So this is a bad example because there's no notes, but anyway, we are moving Yammer notes to OneNote, basically. So if you have existing Yammer notes, we're going to convert those to Word documents for now, but eventually the OneNote integration will become much, much smarter and just be embedded in. So beyond just the link on the right-hand side here, it will be like embedded in as part of notes. Files, you know, we store files in Azure in Yammer today, but we don't particularly want to be in the file storing business. We have a pretty good app called OneDrive and SharePoint that do that. And so even though every group today will get a SharePoint library, you'll still have the ability to upload files directly to the Yammer group. And that still makes sense for now. And, you know, if you think about things like mobile photos, that type of stuff, small stuff you just want to quickly share, and you don't necessarily need all the bells and whistles that SharePoint and OneDrive can give you. But our plan in the long term over the next 12 to 18 months is to get out of the file sharing business completely and just have that all stored inside SharePoint. Yeah.
So the question is there a plan to archive old groups?
Not in Yammer itself. So we'll start to respect. So Office 365 groups as a service level is implementing stuff like that. So they are bringing in soft delete and then hard delete. So Yammer groups will respect all those permissions. So we'll manage it from that level. We don't have anything in Yammer itself that's going to how you maintain those groups. You want to do that at a suite level. We don't really have any plans to do something specific to that.
Yeah, what some people will do, they'll use the API and put some script around, you know, looking at the age of certain content that's within Yammer and use the API to expire content periodically. We are also looking at ways to kind of beef up some of the admin controls from a community manager perspective, so the community managers have a better view into kind of the age of groups, activity within groups, and then be able to make determinations on whether those groups should stay or go.
Yeah, and I guess in terms of files, sorry, just to follow up on that, as they get stored in SharePoint, obviously if you have tenant-wide settings around data retention and that sort of stuff applied to your SharePoint collections, the Yammer files will adhere to that same process too.
We might want to take the question was how does Microsoft handle that? That might be a little deeper. We might take that offline.
At the end, yeah. One more. Yep. External groups in Yammer require the guests to have a Yammer network. It doesn't have to be a licensed one. It could be a free one, but they just have to have a Yammer network in part of their company. Yep. Eventually, so you would have seen, hopefully, we announced for the Office 365 group service, they support external users. Now, it's a slightly different way to we do it. Our plan is to get just to, again, inherit what they do, so it'll change. So it'll use a Microsoft account instead. But today, all you need is a Yammer account to do that. Can you put the slides back on quickly? I just want to give you guys some timings of when this is coming. So this is going to be rolled out in waves, and wave one is really, we're just going to be enabling it for a certain set of customers and there's really two conditions. One is you have enforced Office 365 identity, which hopefully most of you have now. You're not using the legacy stuff. We turned that off in November. There was a few exceptions, but if you have enforced Office 365 identity inside Yammer and you have a one-to-one tenant, you have one Office 365 tenant to one Yammer network, then you'll be included as part of wave one. And what that means is initially we're only going to connect new public and private groups. We're not going to backfill your existing ones in the first wave. It's only for new groups. In wave one, if everyone's going to ask timing, I'm sure you're probably wondering, is the best way to describe it, imminent, like literally like in the next week or two. We're going through one little thing, and then it'll be shipped in the next week or so, which I am very, very excited about. We've had it in Microsoft now for about 3 or 4 months, and I need my customers to get on board because it's really good. Wave two is that backfill. So that same set of customers, we're going to take your existing Yammer groups and connect them and sync them and create all those resources around it for all your existing Yammer groups that are public and private. So that's wave two, and that's probably about 2 or 3 months away. The third wave is around stuff that have legacy Yammer identities, and we're trying to work out how we're going to do that. Maybe you're in weird, like, multi-tenant situations where you have one Office 365 tenant, but you have multiple Yammer networks. We support that, but it's not an easy one to manage, so that'll come at a later date, later this year. And then the fourth one, which is kind of further out, secret groups is a concept that Yammer has, where you can create a private group but not list it in the directory. AAD doesn't support that today. They have announced it and they're working on it. So as soon as they support that, then that'll get secret groups will also get connected and backfilled. External groups, so obviously external groups in Yammer today, we don't have an easy way to license external users to use your Office 365 tenant. And so until we can work out and inherit the way Office 365 groups does it, we're not going to be connecting any external groups. And then freemium networks, we're going to see if we're going to do that. And then external networks, again, depending on licensing and how that works, they'll be further down the track. So that's the rollout waves, but then that's how we're basically connecting existing groups. What's more exciting is, I guess, is what the experience will be inside those groups. And so, you know, at the moment, it's a relatively simple integration where you can just see the links to the other apps down the side, but we want to make it, you know, like similar to the promise that Teams has where you have everything in one spot. There should be, and groups, you know, if you look at the files tab in Outlook groups, you see files, all the files related to that group in a single place. That would be a similar experience in Yammer, but we have a feed which is kind of unique to Yammer, so we can do things like, let's show trending files inside the feed of that Yammer group, or if you've got a event in the calendar, maybe after the event happens, automatically post the event and say, you know, what was the outcome of this, or maybe there's a task in Planner. We can start to use the feed and really build those integrated experiences in. Yes?
So the question is, how much of the functionality will be available on mobile?
I actually have a whole slide on mobile stuff that's going to move into this, but our strategy is to leverage the best of the app. So what we want to do is, if you are in the Yammer mobile app and you want to make a Skype call, you'll click on the person's name, number, and that will deep link you into the Skype for Business app and start the call there. So we'll be linking to the different apps. If you want to browse the files for a group, it'll drop you to the SharePoint or OneDrive app. And so it's really about deep linking. You'll be able to attach files, that sort of stuff. But yeah, absolutely. As we get more and more of this functionality, you need to be able to make sure you can do it on the mobile app as well. So we're very much moving towards that. Admin control. So again, I sort of talked about this, but really just supporting everything that they do in Office 365 groups now, you'll just get as part of Yammer groups, which I think is kind of cool. So that includes things like naming conventions, auditing, soft delete, blah, 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 blah. And then dynamic groups, which is by far our most requested feature in terms of administering Yammer groups. So a dynamic group is something that Office 365 Groups is supporting, and we'll just get this by default as we roll this out. So what that means is you can create membership of a Yammer group based on an attribute inside Active Directory. So it could be Steve can create a group with all his direct reports, or show me everyone who's in the Sydney office in this group. And as people move around or those attributes change inside Active Directory, that group membership changes automatically.
There's a question in the back.
Oh, so yes.
The question is around different domains, multiple domains in Office 365, multiple Yammer domains.
To be perfectly honest, I'm not sure what we're doing that. We can take that one offline if I can follow that one up for you. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
No t-shirt for questions we can't answer.
Yeah.
Can you put a lot of control around that? So, and if you do, what's the end user experience if you create a group? Because it's say, sorry, the format has got to be this, or does it just stop them creating it?
That's a good question. I haven't used that myself. I know in Outlook groups, if there's a naming convention in an Outlook group, for example, the ones I was testing, you could do it both ways, like exclude words, so you're not allowed to create a group with certain words in it, I just won't let you do it. Or you can have things like append a suffix. So if I'm based in Sydney and I create the marketing team, it'll say marketing team, it will append Sydney to it. My assumption is, and we can follow this up, is that the Yammer would be, it will just follow those same rules. That's how the Outlook stuff does it. Right, which is a good segue. If one more.
Questions about recovering deleted files might have to be another one we take offline with the groups team.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is handled by the groups team, and Yammer's just it. Whatever they decide to do, the Yammer process will just inherit whatever that is. Yeah, one of the key points I guess we should take away is Yammer doesn't want to be the special snowflake anymore that does stuff differently to the rest of Office 365. Everything we do should just be. So if you people ask us about e-discovery and rights management, all that stuff. We've got a project now where we're building on top of the same stack as Exchange and Outlook. So we just get that stuff. We're not going to build Yammer specific e-discovery things and DRM stuff. So everything we do is just leveraging the Office 365, whether it's security, compliance, auditability, all that stuff. Now, so that was just the group section. There's lots and lots of other stuff that we've shipped in the last. This is actually just in the last 3 months probably. So we did the OneDrive and Groups File Picker, which I showed you that quickly, and I can take you through that. Being able to create files directly inside a Yammer group. I've been using Yammer for about 7 years now, and I was surprised how much I love this simple feature where you can actually go and create Word, PowerPoint, Excel files directly in the group and message. So as you're typing, you can say, "Hi, Steve, let's work on this document." Bang, create the document and go straight into Word and do it together. That's really, really useful and been shipped. We've done a huge amount of work around just making Yammer look better. So anyone who's used Yammer for the last little while, posting photos looked pretty ordinary. Sharing links was a terrible experience, particularly sharing links from inside SharePoint was a really terrible experience. It was just this horrible looking link. We've done a lot of work now of having nice content and previews of the files, similar to what Delve does, have cards so you can see the preview of the first slide in a PowerPoint or the text in a Word document, and just really trying to make the experience for the end user much more intuitive.
We've actually heard from customers saying that they've seen higher engagement in files and photos in their Yammer networks as a result, so hopefully you'll start to see that as well.
In about May, June last year, the Office 365 reporting dashboard launched, and as part of that, Yammer was in there, and you can see things like messages, likes, reads, posts across your network. About 2 weeks ago, we shipped a new report in there called Client Access Reports. So that will tell you how people are accessing your Yammer network, whether it's via iOS, Android, iPad, SharePoint, other third-party apps, how they're accessing your Yammer network. Profile, we've done a huge amount of work trying to profile sync stuff, so we now will pull all your information from Active Directory, including pictures if you don't have one inside Yammer, and giving you a single profile. We've got much more stuff to make that better, but it's certainly improving. And then from a mobile perspective, we have one on the bottom there where we shipped MAM support via iTunes and iOS and Android in about August last year. But on the your right, my left, the mobile across iOS, Android, and iPad has had a huge amount of work going on to it. New groups, and I can demo all this stuff for you. We've got basically a lot of this is around parity to the web. So things like you couldn't answer a poll on the mobile app, so you can now do that in iOS. We're just about to ship it on Android. We're going to build things like being able to create praise, post announcements. So the feature parity that you see on the web is coming to mobile. We just completely rebuilt our iPad app. Lots of executives in Australia, of all places, have been asking us to fix the iPad app for a while. So that's now just shipped. It's now built on top of the iOS code. So you get all the features that iOS has, plus a brand new interface for iPad. Yes, question.
Is there anything coming in so that the rich link preview
Yes. Yep. Yep. So that. So we just shipped that on web, and then that's. It's. I thought it was on iOS already, but.
So the question was improvement of improving the way links render from if they're shared on the mobile app. I think the team is.
It's that second last point around visual standardization. So everything that happened, all that link stuff I talked about, will be on mobile as well. Huge amount of accessibility updates and some search stuff too across Android. Now, that's what we've just shipped. What's next? And I've really tried to like shrink this down to what's just happening in the next 3 months. All of this is on the public fast track roadmap, so it's not nothing in this particularly secret, but edit post, which people have been asking for a long, long time, and it turns out it's really, really, really hard to build, but it has been built. Steve wrote a great blog post about the complexities of it, but that is, we've had it in Microsoft now for a few weeks. Next week, we're going to start asking customers to help us test it, and then we'll roll out shortly after that. I'll demo that in a second. We are building a desktop app. So we've had the Yammer Notify. Anyone use the Yammer Notify app today that popped up in the tray? So we're basically, it's been working pretty well, but we get a lot of feedback. You can't, you know, as IT guys, you can't manage it. You can't support it. You can't, deploy you know, it. Package it up and deploy it. Sorry, is the word I was after. So we're actually, instead of fixing the Notify app, we've actually just gone and built a desktop app, which will allow you to do all that stuff as well. A lot of people have said, you know, it's too hard to get to web. So we're building a desktop app, which will ship in March. Connectors, so Office 365 connectors that you see in Teams, that you see in Outlook. Again, because Yammer is now connected to that same service, we will now support connectors, so you'll be able to connect third-party apps to a Yammer group like Twitter, GitHub, Trello, whatever it is, and pull that information into a Yammer group just like you can with Teams and with Outlook. That's another one that's very exciting. Dynamic group we've talked about. The customer reporting dashboard is something that we get asked for a lot. So we have a Yammer Analytics dashboard for a while now, but anyone who's used that, it's a pretty horrible experience. I think we can all agree it doesn't particularly work that well. We have, like I said, we've gone to the Office 365 admin portal, so there's a great set of just sort of high-level usage stats that you can get from there, but the problem with that is it's only for admins. So if you've got your community manager for a group, today they really have no insight into what's happening in their group and how they can manage it and make that better. And there's some really, really good third-party tools like Swoop and Tiregraph and a few other ones that help customers do that. But we want to also make that really simple for group admins, just to be able to come in and see, you know, what's happening in my group, what are some of, you know, maybe unanswered posts or things that's happening inside my group, but also make them actionable. So we want to help them grow their group with ideas about what they can do to improve engagement, increase usage, that sort of stuff. Who are the most influential people? Similar things like that. So that project's just kicked off. We'll have a bit more of a detailed roadmap of that in the next week or so. But that's hopefully coming before mid-year.
Is there any thought around, I love the idea of giving users the power to create their own groups, but is there any thought being put around predicting what they're trying to do and potentially surfacing information about stuff that already exists?
Yeah.
Plus, is there any thought to being predictive about what is created, groups are created?
Yeah, I think that there has been, you know, we're part of the Substrate now in Office 365. So when you join Yammer, if you joined Yammer 6 months ago, we literally knew nothing about you. Maybe the person who invited you and that was it. Now when you join Yammer, we know based on the graph which team you're in, which SharePoint sites you work with, which files you go on, which meetings you go to. We know all this information about you. So we can start to predict things like most relevant. So if you go to suggested groups today in Yammer, that's actually now based on the Office graph and can start to show you groups that we think are relevant to you, not just popular ones. So we're getting better at that. We haven't got to the point yet where we want to do connectors first, and then in terms of like bots and pure AI stuff, that's probably after that. But we're getting a lot smarter at how we suggest and recommend groups to you today.
Right. You'll also see some of that effort surface in our Yammer onboarding. So when new users come into Yammer, we'll do a lot more predictive work around getting people again to the right groups from the very beginning.
I'm just going to quickly skim through some of these. You would have seen probably last week or this week direct messaging. So we had a chat thing in Yammer down the bottom right. You know, there's lots of tools in Microsoft that do chat a lot better than us, Skype for Business, for example. So we just actually got rid of that last week. And you can now you can still do private messages in Yammer, and I'm going to show you that in a second, but we're going to be integrating with Skype for Business for that. So you'll be able to hover, get presence over someone's name, click-to-call video directly from both mobile and the web. And so that's coming relatively soon as well.
Are you doing any pull files, or a YAML pull file in Office
365 with different? Yeah, so today we do one-way sync from AD when the user's created, and so we'll pull that from Active Directory. So the question was, are we doing any profile syncing and having a single profile, I guess, is what you're saying across the suite. Yeah. So today we sync attributes from Active Directory into Yammer on group creation, on account creation, photo, name, all the stuff you get in Yammer. You can edit that in Yammer yourself, and it doesn't sync back, but if you edit it in Active Directory, it will sync back down to Yammer. Our ultimate goal is to have a single profile across the suite, whether that be Delve or People or whatever it is. So we don't necessarily want to have a Yammer profile, just be one across the suite. So right now we sync. We're probably not going to invest more in the Yammer profile as opposed to just like take the existing one from Office 365. What else we got? Skype integration and group headers you might have seen when I showed the demos. We actually have new... can you switch this across? I'll just quickly, because I know we've got about 10 minutes left before questions, I want to show you some of the stuff. So group headers, this will ship in the next week or so. First is just to customize what these things look like, but eventually we're going to put in photos, that type of stuff, to really give groups a sense of identity and purpose of what they're supposed to be. Edit post, I quickly talked about, but you can see... how that works, and we give you the full version history. Why that's taken a little bit longer than we hoped when we showed it at Ignite is we wanted to make sure that those of you who have, you know, auditing and use the APIs to extract data, that we're able to, you know, maintain all that complexity. So I can come in and edit this now. Oops, more typos. And then you get the full, you can see now this has been edited. This is both on mobile and web. You get the full history of everything that's happened there. What's some other stuff? I showed you how you can create this. This is where you can now create files directly in Yammer, and they will go straight into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and you can have co-authoring of those files with the group members, that type of stuff. Private messaging. So again, we used to have the chat down the bottom. It's out, and we now have this on the left-hand side. What I really like about this is it's persistent. So if I have a chat with Steve, all my chats are in a single place. So it actually feels more like a group. And we're trying to give chats that experience of group. If you want real-time chat, you should be spat out to Skype or Teams. And we'll do integrations for that. But if you just want to have a conversation with one or two people, then you can do that. And you can actually then move that to a group as well from inside Yammer. You can see here as examples of that, the new attachment stuff. So this is a photo pile. So there's six photos, and they appear much, much better inside the feed. We have, if you upload a presentation, there's a PowerPoint deck that gives you the preview, and you can click into that. A link, so an external link, which now pulls information and a thumbnail from it. YouTube and Vimeo videos are there. It's a good-looking unit there who's presenting Yammer updates. We are building support for Stream and Office 365 video as well, so you'll be able to put authenticated video links directly into the feed and have those stream. That's actually... a request that came from Satya, so we're moving quickly on that one.
Quick question over here.
Yes.
Any plans to pin groups on the left side?
So we're doing a few different things with how we want to organize groups. So today the way that they're ordered is by how much you use them. So you often used to meet customers like, I use this group all the time, but I can never find it in my list. And the fact that it's not in your list means you don't use it all the time, basically, is how that works. But we are doing a few different things with groups. So things like giving group types. So let's say, for example, when you click Create Group, you want to be able to determine what type of group it is. Is it a project group? Is it a communication group? Is it an announcement group? And then based on that group type, we'll filter those on the right side. We are looking at pinning groups there now because, you know, people want to be able to do that. The group type, sorry, will give you, if it's an announcement type group, maybe some functionality is there, some's not, or it just changes the way the group works. So we're certainly looking into how you categorize and define a group.
Just take one more question and then we'll close out and then we'll leave some more time. We just want to make sure we get through.
Yeah.
Good. Yep. So the question is migrating from one platform to another. We don't do it at Microsoft. I can happy to connect after. There's some partners that do this work and have done this work, and we can connect you with those.
I did one, point at this guy point. First, sorry.
Yeah.
How do you manage stale groups or groups sprawl?
So, I mean, again,
groups
sorry, yeah, how do you, thanks, Steve. again, as you use a group, it bubbles to the top. As you don't use a group, it bubbles to the bottom. And so, you know, we don't, it seems like it would be an issue, but I don't know if, we've been doing it for years now. I haven't, you know, I'm part of hundreds of groups. But again, you know, I'm part of an Ignite group that we use to create this deck, and it's at the top of my list now. Over the next few weeks, it'll disappear. Maybe when I come back here in 18 months and do it again, I can resurface and use it. There's no real plans to do that. Again, as retention policies and stuff come into Office 365 groups, we'll just inherit that. So if you decide you want to delete groups over 6 months, then that'll happen in Yammer. But in terms of what we're doing, it doesn't really do it.
It's also interesting that question about kind of stale groups or how do you manage the lifecycle of groups tends to come up in this audience a lot. However, recently there was somebody in our Microsoft network that was trying to go back to a group that they had created about 12, 18 months ago related to an event that they had, and they wanted to go back because they had captured a bunch of learnings in that group, and turned out somebody else deleted it and perhaps didn't consult with the rest of the group to determine could some of this information be valuable. So I think there's some checks and balances that perhaps need to be put in place to understand, or before thinking about, when you put kind of your life cycle together of how you manage groups, perhaps think about some checks and balances to determine what information from here could be useful later on.
All right, yeah.
Okay. All right, so we just want to close off on a few tips on kind of where do you go from here. You've heard a lot of great things that we're in. Hopefully you're excited about the things that we're investing in and building, but how do you actually apply it in your organizations? And a lot of times when we go and we talk about adoption, maybe you've heard some kind of heavy content, heavy information about how to get Yammer up and going. And so I want to take a little bit of a different approach and want to try to keep things light and hopefully very much accessible. Things that you can take back to your workplace tomorrow or next week, whenever you decide to go back to the office and share with your colleagues, what are some really kind of lightweight, approachable ways that people can start to use Yammer immediately? And so you've heard us talk a little bit about this notion of working out loud. What does that really mean? What we think about with working out loud is kind of making your work observable, making your work accessible to other people. And sometimes you might think, well, gosh, I don't really have time to do that. How do I make an effort to do this? Well, you're already kind of doing it today. You're already doing many of these things within email today. Working out loud is really just taking that a lot of the information that you're sharing in these kind of siloed applications and moving them to a place like Yammer where it can be more discoverable and accessible for more people. And so, like I said, working out loud is kind of narrating your work, making your work observable, inviting other people in to be able to help you, help bring your cause along, similar to that Sanofi example where that person brought his cause to Yammer and built a coalition around him to create this new process. So think about, do you create presentations? Do you create documents? You probably schedule events with your teams, right? So take that work, take those things that you would normally talk about, you know, in other channels, and think about moving them into Yammer, inviting other people in to contribute to that. Now, if you're kind of confused about what to post, this often happens, right? Because Yammer is a different place. It's a different place because it's more open, it's more perhaps transparent. Perhaps some people are shy. They take their notions of the consumer space and they're not really sure what to post in their corporate space. So think about articles. Think about things that links that you can share. But this is also one that we do a lot internally and we've seen other organizations do, is do something really simple around sharing your top three objectives for the week. So an example of this is somebody from our team will come in, whoever the first person is in the office, they'll come in and say, here are my top three for the week. Now, there could be 10 things that you want to accomplish for the week, but think about what are the top three things that you want to be responsible for doing and that you want to hold yourself accountable for doing, and post those into the group. Finalized marketing budget, draft of a marketing campaign, whatever it is. And then at the end of the week, reflect back. Did you do those things? This is a great way to hold yourself and hold your team accountable for what you need to be doing or what you're driving towards, what objectives you have for that given week. Share and get feedback on a document. So perhaps you're working on a presentation. Gus showed you some great ways that you can start to leverage and use Yammer to share the content that you're creating right back into Yammer. We don't work on these files and presentations in a vacuum anymore, right? We invite feedback. We build these things. We collaboratively work on these deliverables with other people. So think about opening it up. You see, in this case, Megan has not even at-mentioned anybody in it. She's freely inviting other people to provide feedback on her work. And it's all about social intent. We talk about this notion of interested versus interesting. And what this means is, if you think about, again, taking your consumer social norms, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty on Facebook of generally being a person that is trying to be interesting. I'm sharing, hey, I'm in the Gold Coast this week, or this is where I went for dinner, or this is what my kids are doing. I'm generally broadcasting stuff. And there needs to be a balance of that, so that the sharing your top three objectives, certainly, that's an example of trying to be interesting, but we also want people to become interested. We want people to be curious about the work that other people are doing and get involved and provide feedback for others. So just like Megan invited her team to provide feedback on her work, Nestor has chimed in and says he feels that this reflects the direction of the product, but he also asks some follow-up questions to perhaps build and make Megan's presentation a little bit better. So it's not just being about interesting. It's not just about being interesting in your Yammer networks. Get interested. Be curious. It's all about creating a habit. So we understand it's hard. You're ingrained. You have habits. You log into your computer. You have a certain process. You go to your email perhaps every day. But think about different ways that you can start to incorporate new habits. Perhaps instead of going to Outlook for the first time, maybe once we have our new desktop application, maybe you go to the Yammer desktop app as your first stop in the day. Or maybe you pop open your browser and you stop in Yammer and just check your feed. Praise someone else's contribution. Great way to engage and get other people into Yammer. Praise somebody for something, for an accomplishment that they've done. Maybe they had a great presentation. You want to share that with the rest of the team. Praise and recognize other people's contributions. So hopefully those are helpful. They might seem a bit rudimentary, but we also, like I said, we want to try to provide you with some tips that are accessible and hopefully easy for people to pick up when you go back to your work. So thank you for spending time with us. Hopefully you're excited about the things that we're working on, the things that we're delivering. We're definitely excited about where we're going. We'll definitely invite some questions.
Plug Kai.
Oh, Kai, yes. Kai and Steven have a great session this afternoon on 50 things they learned, things we learned from Yammer adoption. I forget the exact title, I'm sorry. But it's at 3:45 today in Central C, I believe. So great session to check out if you want to learn more about adoption. So thank you for coming. We'll stick around and answer some questions.